Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. While helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Actually, Lynette Morgan has the week off today, and Mark Holland filling in for Lynette. We do have Dr. Umat, though, in the studio. Our brand new studio is here. We're getting familiar with all the video stuff to come. And we have a special guest doctor today, Dr. Umat.
That's right. We actually, Dr. Mixon is off today as well. Lynette and Dr. Mixon took the same weekend off. we have a lot of help in here. Brian is here helping us with the audio video and making sure that we're live on air for you guys today. I think we had a little hiccup on Wednesday, but otherwise we're doing great here. We had to put in an SOS to Brian. And Mark and I were part of that escapade on Wednesday, having fun together here. And, of course, we have our one and only Dr. Michael Gilbert. Drum roll.
We'll be able to do drum rolls here in the future.
Good morning.
From Northwest Eye Institute. Very happy to have you here again. So, my go-to person for any eye questions. I've known Dr. Gilbert forever and a day, and he takes care of me and my family. And very happy to have him, take over that role so I don't worry about those things anymore. Eye problem? Dr. Gilbert.
Okay.
And he does a wonderful job. Obviously, our go-to person here in the clinic as well. He's helped taken care of many questions. We've sent bat signals to him many a time, and he graciously
and
calls
sometimes
us back.
I know the answers, sometimes.
No, you do know the answers. And sometimes we have to look them up. Like we had a question earlier in the show, and we can probably maybe talk about that a little bit. So, Jen, if you're listening, do call back. We do have an update for you, actually, from Dr. Gilbert's son, Dr. Michael Gilbert Jr.
Right.
And we'd love to talk about that. But, hey, Mark, you want to give out the numbers first, or do you want me to talk about dementia and eye disease?
Let's give the number first so we don't forget that. 206-421-5757. That's the number to call with your questions. Already have someone on the line. 206-421-5757.
All right. Well, that's fast. So I think we'll make it fast then to talk to Gilbert, right?
Exciting.
So I saw this article today and I thought it was fascinating. And this is news going on in the last week or so about dementia and memory loss and what can be done to help prevent memory loss. And a couple of the things that, seemed like, this is really important and reversible in many cases is the sensory stimulation part, both visual and hearing. Because sometimes when a patient presents with hearing loss, they become socially isolated and they present with dementia. And the same happens with visual loss. And in this particular case, it was related to cataract and diabetic retinopathy and not so much with glaucoma and macular degeneration.
So I think that's it's really exciting data to have more widely available, because I have seen this in my own clinic over the years, that patients who have been labeled as their problem is dementia, but they also have eye loss of vision.
Right.
When we restore the vision, there's a component of the dementia that was sensory related, and there's less apparent clinical dementia symptoms. I've seen people come back from what they thought was all dementia to learning that a large component of their isolation and decrease in interfacing with family and friends has been just sensory.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I think it's really important. And data that I haven't seen is. Because I have seen people who have come back in function with restoration of vision. But I understand that there's data, and I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it, that says that if you don't address hearing loss early enough,
right,
the consequences, those cognitive consequences, aren't restored when you ultimately improve hearing.
I wonder what the pathology is there, or if it's just social isolation related.
Right. So, yeah. And you know, I have seen the improvement, but I wonder if there is to what degree it's important to do that that vision and hearing recovery early, rather than just say, well, whenever you fix it, it'll all come back.
Right.
I think there probably is some that's not recoverable.
Right. And that's pretty scary, you know, because with memory loss, especially with Alzheimer's, as you all know, there is really no cure. And that's very sad and tragic. Now, I know that they are working on identifying the disease earlier. So there's a blood test that was just approved for early marker for Alzheimer's dementia. And I know that in research, they're looking at a possibility of a vaccine. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there's lots of things going on behind the scenes that are looking at maybe early detection and possibly treatment. But currently, there's nothing really available. And so you want to do whatever you can possible to reduce the risk for developing dementia. And here on the show, we talk about epigenetics and we talk about the influence of other things in the environment that can allow expression or delay the expression of diseases. And based on that, you know, is hormone replacement therapy and nutritional support, lifestyle, fat, muscle mass, which is so integral to what we do, controlling your inflammation markers, so that at every stage, we are reducing the risks that you may have to develop memory loss. And sometimes we think of it as, you know, natural age-related declination. But if you want to improve lifespan and health span in that lifespan, then you want to do whatever you can to possibly reduce the presentation of these quote-unquote normal age-related diseases.
Right.
And with that, a regular exam to find out what your eye health is like is very important, because it gives a window into what is that diabetes doing, how well is it controlled or not, and therefore controlling it becomes important. Remember, it comes back to that same body. You're one whole person, even though we do compartmentalize and divide you into endocrinology, cardiology, ophthalmology, ENT, and whatever have you. But one person, and when your blood vessels in your eyes are affected, you know that the blood vessels, the same blood vessels are taking blood to the brain, are also affected. So that is related to dementia,
right, exactly.
Very, very closely. And also to your kidney. So renal insufficiency becomes very important. And then cataracts. So there was new development and new thought processes with cataract. In the past, we used to wait for the cataract to mature. But nowadays, we don't do that anymore. The earlier you get treatment, the better off your vision will be, and therefore now, your memory.
Yeah. With each, throughout my practice lifetime, the age for treating the visual changes with lens surgery, now we call it more RLE, refractive
right.
lens exchange, rather than, quote, cataract surgery. Many people are not waiting until they get a cataract that is so impairing them that they can't pass a driver's test. That's mm-hmm. very uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are choosing to have it done much earlier. My average age has been going down every single year that I've been practicing. And the reason is a combination of, when you're thinking about having surgery of any kind, you do a risk-benefit analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But both of those parameters have been changing. Both the risk, because of technique and technology, the risk has greatly decreased. It used to take a month to recover after mm-hmm. cataract surgery, larger incisions, sutures, what have you. Now, because we're using micro-incisions and more advanced technology in removing the lens, the old lens, the risk has diminished. Mm-hmm. And the average patient, 90%, can read driver's license vision or better overnight without glasses.
Wow.
That kind of recovery is hugely different
right.
than taking a month to slowly heal and get your better vision.
Right.
Plus the benefit, so risk benefit, the, on the benefit side, the implant technologies have continued to emerge and improve, make not just evolutionary but revolutionary changes. When I started, there was no such thing as fixing astigmatism or the precision in predicting the prescription improvement was not at the level that it is today. Mm. And now we have the technologies that can give a range of vision. And I allowed at the last time we mentioned it was that the implants that I was using 5-10 years ago are, you know, they performed well at the time. It was the cutting edge of the time.
Sure,
but today, much better.
Right.
When I had mine done, I chose the best of the lenses. Of course, today, the patients that, you know, that I'm treating just this last week had implants that perform much better.
Right.
Right. In terms of predictable distance vision, as to greatly reduce need for glasses, as well as a range of vision, distance, intermediate, near vision. Without necessarily depending on glasses for those things.
Right. So. And does Medicare pay for these, Dr. Gilbert?
So Medicare, well, it depends on your symptoms. It turns out Medicare, it's not the physician's decision.
Okay.
It's pretty much the patient. If we're doing it because of glare, for instance,
okay,
one of the earliest symptoms of cataracts is glare with night driving. And
right, it is.
Here, as we're sitting in this nice production studio on a beautiful sunny day, patients are saying, I don't drive at night. Well, I'm a Seattle native, right?
We drive at
right.
night.
And in a few months, come November, night
yeah.
driving starts about
3 o'clock
in the afternoon.
Right.
Unless it's raining, then it's 2 o'clock.
Yes,
right?
And it goes from November to March.
Oh, my gosh. I go to work in the dark. I come home in the dark.
That's right.
So we all in the Northwest do some night driving. And oftentimes it's when driving in those dark, rainy winter months that you start to notice that headlights are causing glare.
Yes.
And so it may be one of the signs that your vision has been changing and you hadn't quite noticed it.
Mm.
If those, when you have those symptoms, then Medicare does cover it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, good to know.
But I do have, many patients are deciding to get it fixed before they get to the stage where it's affecting their functional vision to correct the loss of reading, for instance,
right.
or to correct, to get out of, I had mine done because I no longer tolerated my contacts.
Mm-mm.
And I was not going to become dependent on glasses because they were uncomfortably thick. So I was conscious about that. Now I would get to wear glasses that, you know, are kind of cool, or I don't wear glasses all functional day because I see well, distance, intermediate, and all I need.
Right. So 50 and over is
yeah.
basically what you're looking at.
Younger than 50, usually yeah. we use LASIK.
Right.
Although, for implants, my youngest is 22.
Wow.
Really? Just with certain prescriptions, you can only fix it with implant technology and not with LASIK. And so he had a very high prescription, could only be treated with an implant. So 22 is the youngest. Seems to me maybe I had an 18-year-old with eye trauma, but, you know, for elective, 22 is the youngest.
Right. Okay. Well, good to know. I hear the music. I guess we're
yeah, the music came and went, so time for a break. We're listening to Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute. He's our special in-studio guest doctor today. Your questions for him or Dr. Umat at 206-421-5757. Mark in for Lynette today. Back with more of Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Today, Mark in for Lynette and joined by Dr. Umat and special guest doctor, Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. Already got people calling. Call in your questions for the doctors right now at 206-421-5757. Let's go to Steve in Shoreline. He has a question for the doctors. Hi, Steve.
Hi,
good morning, Steve.
Steve.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Dr. Gilbert, nice that you're on today. I have a question for you.
Ask away.
My ophthalmologist just recently diagnosed me with demodex blepharitis.
Okay.
Eye mites, which is a, you know, kind of freaky.
Sounds freaky.
Honestly, it's when we find this, and I believe it's clinically relevant, I show a picture of, usually I like to jump not to to just a picture. I'll show patients a picture of their condition, because I have a video hooked up to my microscope, so I can show them their eyes. And since internet is ubiquitous, I have it on a large monitor next to me, so I quickly show them on the internet pictures of the same, their eyes, something similar to their eyes, and then I show them the actual mite. And if you want to get motivated to fix this, if you put in Demodex and you go to the videos, it will show you these mites crawling around, which...
Oh, don't do that. That's terrible.
Yeah.
If you want to motivate...
No, do it.
You know, it's... otherwise, you know...
They look terrible. So I just pulled them up.
So much of ophthalmology is so abstract. But, you know, watching a video of this thing crawling on an eyelash... would definitely motivate one.
That is gross. I'm looking at the pictures of these mites.
Yeah, so for the listening audience, if you're sitting near a computer just to entertain, type in Demodex, Demodex, and go to images and videos, and you'll be motivated to make sure that your red, irritated, itchy eyes aren't this mite.
I see a whole host of people calling in ophthalmology tomorrow morning and saying, I need to get in.
unfortunately, the treatments for this have really been not terribly effective. They're difficult to kill. Hmm. There is a new medication that can be used that is very effective in eliminating these, and many people are getting relief in using that. It's a six-week.
Yeah, and I have it in my hand right now,
okay.
Doctor.
Very good.
It's the Xdemvy, the Lotilaner, right. 0.25. Yeah.
Yep.
And what was very surprising about these?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, what's surprising, first of all, was the actual price. The cost of this medication, over the counter, it's $1,500 for one little.
What? That means I shouldn't complain about the $150 that they charged me for my eye drops.
Well, Medicare took it down to $360, and then I got a grant from the company, which took the price down even farther. So I was able to get them, but I was very surprised at the price. It's a 6-week treatment, and I'm curious, why does it take 6 weeks? Do you know what the efficacy of the treatment is?
Well, the problem is the mites are not. If you could bathe the mites in the drug, it wouldn't take so long. The problem is keeping the drug on the infected area. Because they're on your eyelash, on the base of the eyelashes, and every time you blink, you're washing away the drug, right? You put the drop in, and you immediately blink. And every time you blink, when you blink, the tear system has an active turnover. Every time you blink, you are releasing new tears, and there is an active vacuum of tears to clear the tear flow. It's not a passive drain, it's an active drain. And so every time you blink, you are actually, you know, flushing that drug off of the surface, diluting it and sucking it off. So when you put the drop in, closing your eyes, keeping it closed for 5 minutes is going to allow for a longer exposure of the drug to the mites. Plus, if you look high in, you know, when you go to the videos, you see the actual mite, but they live in this little warm, fuzzy cocoon of crud at the base of your eyelashes. So the better you are at keeping that area clean with some hot compresses and gentle massage, coupling that with the antibiotic. And, you know, just to address the cost, which I can't really do, but, you know, for some reason, to try and justify themselves, they'll put this a ridiculous number out, and patients will come in and say, they tell me that the pharmacist said that this drug is X number of ridiculous dollars, but they're able to get it to me through the insurance for something substantially less. Well, the price was never that other number. And if you go to a company called GoodRx, is a coupon company online for drugs, and that's going to be a much better metric for what the real price is that's available. That said, XDEMVY is amongst the very expensive drugs, and how much
it is
partially controlled by the pharmacies, partially controlled by the company, who has some relationships with small pharmacies that help to make it more affordable.
And I couldn't even get it from my normal pharmacy. I had to get it online from BlinkRx.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They have some pharmacy relationships, so I am sure in the end, I regret. I think they're doing it to maximize the revenue. So frankly, this is ubiquitous enough. I see it very commonly. If the patient isn't symptomatic, I am waiting for it to become affordable to treat before we just...
Right.
If someone's symptomatic, then fortunately we have answers that we haven't had. But
Dr. Gilbert,
how much drug costs is very dependent on your insurance.
Yeah. I've been a dog trainer for 34 years. I have picked this up from dogs? Because I've trained dogs with demodectic mange.
I see it so common. It's like staph bacteria. It's very common. And the degree that it's in any one individual varies, and the degree of symptoms can vary with the degree of infestation.
Yeah, staph is a skin infection, very common skin.
Right. Right, but staph can be measured, just as routine as normal flora, and so this is not uncommon.
Dr. Gilbert, is it related to any immune suppression or stress? He just happened to get it.
It's growing on the lashes. It has more to do with the meibomian gland secretions. Because that's what they like the temperature, and they like those thick secretions.
They do.
Now, the healthy secretions aren't thick and cruddy.
Okay.
But as you have those thicker secretions that come with meibomian gland dysfunction, then that creates a happier environment, because then you have that thick, warm area that they just thrive in that. So it tends to be associated with patients who already have some compromise to their tear condition.
Wow. Right. And that's very
common. Any advice on prevention?
Right?
Extremely common.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that, Steve?
Any advice on prevention, Dr. Gilmer, in the future?
So treating the meibomian gland dysfunction, which is heat, doing some daily heat to keep the surface of the lids and lashes as free of the abnormal tear secretions as possible.
What about omega-3s, Dr.
Yes, absolutely. So we were a couple things can influence the quality and the viscosity of the tears that come out of those meibomian gland secretions. And one of those is omega-3 supplementation. And there it appears to be the actual omega-3 EPA-DHA dose that you're taking. And in my experience and what limited research has been done on that, I think you have to be over 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams of EPA-DHA daily to influence those secretions.
Let's come back after the music.
Good. Perfect.
Okay, and that'll open up a line for you. If you're listening today, you can talk to Dr. Michael Gilbert or Dr. Samira Umat at 206-421-5757. This is Leading Edge Medicine, back in moments.
Stop me up.
Leading Edge Medicine. Mark in for Lynette today. Dr. Mixon has the day off, and in his place is Dr. Michael Gilbert of Northwest Vision Institute, and he was talking about what these eye mites or whatever. I had no idea there was such a... I guess Steve dropped off who was asking that question, but you wanted to wrap up the thought there.
And the name of those eye mites are Demodex.
Demons.
Demodex, yeah. And if again, if you want to get an idea of how important this may be to you, look up online at some of the pictures and image videos of Demodex. But I wanted to mention that in addition to this new drug that's now available, that is unfortunately very expensive, there are other treatments. And one of them, we were talking about how can you improve the health of the surface of the eye so you're less likely to have the problem in the first place, or part of treatment to prevent recurrence. Because treating the drug does not mean it won't come back, because this can have other sources on the skin and the hair follicles. So that would, one of the treatments is IPL, intense pulsation of light.
That's laser therapy.
Which has been used for a long time in dermatology.
Yes.
And it turns out that this, that IPL, when used, it was discovered, used in facial
aesthetics,
just in aesthetics, that it had some impact on the meibomian gland function. It actually improves by decreasing the blood vessels that lead to those glands, the abnormal blood vessels that are feeding those glands. Some of the immune modulators, it alters the health of the secretions coming from the glands. And so with the IPL series, that now because of that research, there are now components to IPL that can apply just directly to the eyelid, because I know Bellamedica and others in dermatology don't actually treat the eyelid.
Correct.
Just a special tool that's involved.
Right.
Same IPL, but special tool that allows us to treat the eyelid.
Right.
And that simultaneously helps to alter the blood flow to those, normalize the blood flow to those glands, which allows better, healthier secretions. That helps your dry eyes. But it also, IPL kills those darn mites.
Right.
So two birds, one stone.
But do you then avoid the medication, or do you have to do both?
No. We don't use the medication.
Oh, wow.
In those patients,
really?
We've killed off the mites, and we've improved the meibomian gland secretions, helping with the dry eyes. Generally, the motivation is to improve the health of the dry eye patient. So that helps to change the tear production quality, which decreases the environment, the microenvironment for those mites. But as importantly, it kills the mites that are there.
Right.
At the same time, just by the light therapy itself.
Right. So are these mites easily visible during an eye exam, so any ophthalmologist can detect them?
The mites are so microscopic that you cannot see the mites.
Okay.
If you pull an eyelash and put it under a high-powered microscope in the clinic, you can. But they have a characteristic. If you look it up, Demodex and under images, it may show you the mite. But more commonly, it shows you the eyelashes. And at the base of the eyelash, you'll see this kind of collarette of scurf. And that's that thick, warm, murky, muddy environment that they love to swim around
in.
So that's what you can see is their microenvironment.
Correct. Okay.
And it's pretty much, it's pathognomonic.
Okay.
That just is a fancy Greek word for that's what it
diagnostic.
Is.
Diagnostic.
Right. It tells you what it is without doing the test.
I see.
So you see that collarette, and you know in that collarette is the Demodex.
So you don't actually see the mites then?
I don't have to look at the mites.
You don't. Okay,
now, you can. We have a microscope, and, I can pluck that lash and run it back and look at it under the microscope. But it really is pretty much diagnostic. If you see that collarette, and you see, if you look at it, as I said, I show patients the internet picture because I want to motivate them to treat this. And if they see that mite, not only they see their eyelashes are exactly like the pictures on the internet, and I show them the video. They're motivated to do something.
Right. Right. Got it. Any long-term damage to vision with these mites?
No.
Okay. Good to know.
It's a toxic environment, so it causes redness, irritation, scratchiness. It's additive to your dry eye symptoms.
Right.
But the same symptoms you have from the dryness, it just kind of magnifies them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
But goes along with it.
Well, I learned something new today. Good to know. Thanks for the call, Steve. And hope this helps.
Makes me want to scratch my eyes.
Keep your hands away.
Well, hey, let's go to Jan next. She's been waiting for a while to talk to the doctors. Hi, Jan. What's your question?
Hello, Jan.
Well, this is a follow-up that Dr. Umat said they had some information for me dealing
That's
with my
right.
macular degeneration and
That's right.
possible side effects.
Yeah, so thank you for calling back, Jen. I appreciate your calling back. So for the new listeners, maybe if I can summarize Jen's scenario.
Yeah.
Jen has macular degeneration and she was getting some treatments, but on a routine lab review in Longevity Medical Clinic, we noticed that her renal function was compromised and she had developed worsening of her renal insufficiency quite suddenly. And Jen was smart enough to recognize that the only thing that had changed was that treatment with the new medication for macular degeneration. And so she posed a question to Dr. Gilbert and to her retinologist whether that was possible. And they were both surprised, but there is new help from Dr. Michael Gilbert's son, Dr. Michael Gilbert Jr.
I reached out to my son, who is a retina specialist in our clinic and does these injections. And so Jan... the most common treatment for wet macular degeneration today is miracle drugs that have come available over the last 5 to 10 years that can stop and or reverse and recover vision from early wet macular degeneration, without which that typically would result in a permanent loss of central vision.
Yes.
So it is a miracle drug, no question. Without which there'd be an enormous increase in functional blindness in the United States. So miracle drug not to be ignored and presents a real challenge. But what he informed me, and I did not know, and clearly it's not common knowledge, but there is some research, some literature in the retina publications that have found that those patients who are at risk, again, this is not common, but it is some patients who are at risk for renal problems, there can be changes in their renal function with these injections.
Okay.
Now, what do you do about that? So first of all, how common is it? Well, I have to say, and we haven't talked about this, Samara, but I think, would you have detected this had Jan not been a longevity patient?
Mm, good question. Yeah. Probably
how
not.
Likely would you have detected this?
Yeah.
How many
right.
patients
yeah.
her same age and health
right.
are having these injections to save their vision and may not know that they have some kidney impacts?
Right.
So just kudos to longevity. And, you know, I'm not a paid consultant. I don't get a piece of anything for saying this, but I am a longevity patient. Thank God I don't need eye injections, but I think there are many people who have those injections that may have renal impact and we don't know about.
Right.
That said, it's believed to be very uncommon for just those patients who are at high risk.
Mm.
So now if we find someone who's at high risk, what do we do about it? Well, I'm going to step a little beyond. I'm going to say I believe the first thing you'd want to do is try a different drug.
Okay.
Because there are a number of drugs in this class of medication that can be used. And when you have that treatment, you'd want to do the same tests. The other thing I think is you probably want to have a nephrologist involved who may have seen more of this than we have.
Yeah.
And, in the worst case, we ultimately have to make choices between your kidney function and your eye function. Then, And with that music, I have a short window to answer the question. Then we have to go back to an earlier generation of treatment for macular degeneration if you can't use those injections. Those do exist. They're far inferior.
Okay, Jan, hopefully that helps, and that'll open up a line for you at 206-421-5757. Dr. Umat and Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute taking your calls today on Leading Edge Medicine. Back in moments. Yes, that is Dr. Umat joining in. Leading Edge Medicine, Mark in for Lynette today. And Dr. Mixon has today off as well. But joining us on the other mic is Dr. Michael Gilbert. Lots of eye questions
morning.
Today. Before we get back to eye questions, Dr. Umat, you want to tell us about a special fair coming up this week?
Yeah, I think everybody who might have heard me will probably say, hey, doc, just stick to medicine. I think I will do that. Yes, gallery. So, you know, at Longevity, we are all about early detection. And I think the last question and Jen's call just was one of the testaments to what we pick up and why we want to fix it before it becomes a major and an ongoing problem. But the gallery is something that's very similar. It's basically screening for cancer, but screening early. And the reason for that is we can change the trajectory of your future with early detection. The statistics are that if you wait for the cancer to have spread out of the organ of origin, 5-year survival at that time drops down to 90%. Whereas if you pick up that same lesion before it has spread out of the organ of origin, the cancer survival is 10 to 20% in 5 years. So 9 out of 10 chances that you won't be alive versus 2 out of 10 chances that you will be. So, you know, huge difference. And it makes a difference in how you will live your life, what you decide to do, and how you plan for this. But more importantly, the gallery test is screening for cancers that we don't screen for currently. We don't even look for them until we find them because the patient presents with symptoms and then we're looking at what those symptoms are. And that means that the cancer has been progressive and it is delayed. The gallery blood test is a new test becoming more and more popular as more and more people are hearing about it. And what it does is looks for cell-free DNA, cancer-free DNA in the blood. So you come into the clinic, we do a blood draw, and that blood now looks for signals in the blood about where, if there is any cell-free DNA. If they find cell-free DNA, which basically means you're picking up the cancer early, then they go ahead and do an AI algorithm which looks for where is this origin of this signal coming from. And then they kind of give the doctor a hint about where to start looking for this cancer. So a very important test, and currently there's no insurance coverage for it. Very few clinics and practices know about it or offer it. And so we do offer it. We do believe in it. And many of our patients have used it, and many of our patients are using it annually to pick up any cancer. But we are opening our doors again to non-longevity patients, listeners and people who know about us, friends and family, who may be worried, concerned, or want to know whether they have any risk for cancer or any signal in their blood that is picking up an early cancer lesion. This test is for those people. And so on a Saturday, September the 14th, 9 to 1, all 3 locations of Longevity Medical Clinic will provide this service. You do have to call to book an appointment. This blood test cost has been reduced from $1,250 to $995 for the first time for this event. And therefore, you know, the cost of each test is each cancer signal is now lowered quite significantly. And with that, if you choose to do a longevity blood panel, which will be $595, we will give you a free bottle of the Longevity Foundations. And those are our multivitamins that were created by Dr. Mixon that have a lot of nutrients that will help with overall health. They kind of are in place of the longevity essentials. So lots of things to think about. If you have questions, call our clinics. All three clinic locations will be offering this, and all the teams will be ready to answer your questions. And do reach out if you have questions, but otherwise book your appointment. These appointments are very popular. They will go quickly. I was told last week that they already have bookings in most three locations.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, that's September 14th, all three locations, Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. You can book your appointment at 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 1-866-86-9684 or online at lmclinic.com. So looking forward to that on September 14th, all three clinics. Let's get back to some phone calls. Right now we are going to go to Charlie next in Buckley. He has a question about cataracts. Hey,
morning, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about my wife's going to have a cataract surgery. The thing is, it's just like a simple lens. I guess it's going to have some distance with the lens. The thing is, are there different brands or better type of lenses? I mean, they never discuss what type of lens. You know what I'm trying to say is there different basic lenses that have better quality than...
I know what you're saying. Yeah. He's asking, is it a Ford? Is it a Mazda? Is it a Porsche? Is it a Mercedes? What is it?
So, very good. All insurance covers a lens. You can't take out the natural lens without replacing it. Although, if you look back to our grandparents, some of them were in the day before implants. So, you know, you can do contacts or glasses. So just having implant technology is a small miracle. That small miracle is included as part of any insurance benefit. But it is the basic most lens. We can make some corrections in prescription, but not a great deal. If you want what is just covered by insurance. So what is the advantage of choosing a lens that is of a higher level of sophistication? Well, for one thing, the quality of the optics are generally a little bit better. But beyond that, what does that mean? Well, that means probably better night vision is where contrast sensitivity shows up. But the greater, the more dramatic ability is to correct astigmatism. All of us have some astigmatism, and it may be minor, it may be large, but you would never get a pair of glasses or you would never have contact lenses that didn't address your prescription that includes the astigmatism. But just because of history, because we weren't able to do it in the first iterations of those implants, the insurance only covers the spherical lens, not the more sophisticated lenses that correct astigmatism. Again, you would never pay for a pair of glasses that didn't have the astigmatism as part of your correction. It's your eye prescription. We didn't have implants that could do it, so that's all the insurance will pay for. Well, you know, I know if Jerry were here, he would chime in about a comment about why would we think about, you know, limiting how we treat a disease just because insurance says that's all I'm going to pay for.
Well, right, but does the patient have an option?
Sure.
I asked, do you want to pay more? Or
so interesting. The mm-hmm. history of this is Medicare used to say, if you have implant surgery and you choose anything other than the fully covered low technology implant, they would not cover the surgery.
Hmm.
And so I'm thinking that was about 20 years ago. I had a patient who had chosen a better quality lens, which meant that she had to pay for the whole surgery.
Hmm.
We did that surgery, and before her second eye, 2 weeks later, Congress changed the law.
Hmm.
So she said, she called the office and said, so can I submit that right? Oh, no, bad luck. That was done under the old law.
Because of the
timing. And if we do anything, you know, then we're violating Medicare law. But today, in answer directly to your question, the current law is Medicare will cover the medically necessary part of it, and you'll get credit for that lower technology lens. But you have the option of choosing a lens that either corrects astigmatism, that lets you choose distance, intermediate, or near vision as a primary target, and also gives you a range of vision, distance, intermediate, near, which that lower technology lens does not.
All right. Well, Charlie, why don't you hold on so you can let us know what your wife's situation is and we can give you a little bit more information before we move on, okay?
Yeah, I got to take a break here at the top of the hour. You're also listening to not only Dr. Umat, but Dr. Michael Gilbert today from Northwest Vision Institute. His number is 425-450-2020. We will be back with more of Leading Edge Medicine in your calls after the top of the break, and that number to call with your questions, lots of eye questions today, understandably, 206-421-5757. We'll be back in moments.